Mark, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
Thanks very much for joining us. Now, could you start us off perhaps by giving us a little bit of an insight, a little bit of an overview into how much language learning has dropped over the past few years?
Yes. So in Australia in general, we have a slightly warped view of the world and of the role of languages within it. It's probably a common thought that in Australia we grow up speaking only English, but that actually places us in the minority of people around the world. So using multiple languages is absolutely the norm in the vast majority of the world. So Europe, Asia, Africa, South America, even in Canada. To give you an idea, there are about 6,500 languages and just under 200 countries, which means that many languages are spoken within individual countries. So it's absolutely the norm.
Mm-hmm.
But there's this prevailing attitude in Australia that speaking multiple languages might be somehow threatening or something like this. And this attitude is changing for the better, and change comes from the top, but it does take time.
How many languages do we actually see spoken here in Australia?
We see hundreds of languages. It's actually very hard to count, and perhaps a matter of definition, but we have quite sizable groups. So, for example, in New South Wales, we have, I think it's over 2% of the population speak Arabic. Across Australia, just under 2% speak Mandarin Chinese. So there are very large groups, also Italian speakers and Greek speakers and other groups as well, Vietnamese and so on. So I don't think you have to look very far in order to think about someone that you know in your own life who probably speaks another language and maybe many different languages.
So our schools, you have argued, aren't really reflecting this diversity. So what are some of the main causes behind this cultural attitude that you've mentioned, that almost not speaking English in public spaces, in places like schools, is somehow threatening?
Well, getting to the school issue, I guess it's this traditional view that learning a language is taught much in the same way as learning other subjects such as history or mathematics or something like that. But the traditional way of teaching languages is that it's taught in a formal setting at specific times during a weekly school timetable. The classes are typically large. They only meet a few times per week. And the language is rarely used for communication, which is exactly the point of using a language. So students don't make as much progress as they want. They often get frustrated, and eventually their knowledge fades away. An alternative to this are what we call immersion programs, and these have been very successful all around the world, where languages are actually used to teach academic subjects, such as science or history or maths and so forth. These approaches have been very successful, and there are different types of them, and in general, they've been far more effective in getting children to become fluent users of the language, and most importantly, maintaining that language once they leave that educational setting.
Now, English is kind of seen as this dominant global language, I suppose you might say. Someday we may be looking at Mandarin in much the same terms, but culturally and politically, it seems like English is the dominant language. Do you think that kind of plays into the indifference, I guess, to learning other languages?
In some sense, yes. So languages are treated as commodities that have economic values. However, it's exactly for this reason what you alluded to with Mandarin has already happened. So there are more Mandarin speakers and Spanish speakers as well than English speakers in the world. So the Australian government has launched such initiatives, recognizing that if we are to fulfill our economic potential, it is very, very important that we're able to speak the languages of our key trading partners. So this change is coming from the top, and I think that you'll see this trickle down to the attitudes of everyday Australians as they recognise the value, not just in using the language for its own sake, but because of the economic and job opportunities, as well as social mobility, positive outcomes that it'll entail.
Mm. And I guess as a final point, Mark, obviously you mentioned the immersion programs. I would imagine one way of looking at learning languages would be to have more teachers from a culturally or a linguistically diverse background in our schools. Is that one of the things that has been looked at?
Absolutely. So that is absolutely paramount if this is to be pursued, and not just having the teachers themselves, but making sure that there are adequate resources, teaching resources in place for them to teach. So the curricula need to reflect such language backgrounds, and it might be necessary to have not just an individual language, but multiple languages which might be strategically chosen for future economic and beneficial reasons, as stated in the government policy.
Mm. Well, Mike, thank you very much. Do appreciate you joining us on this morning. Have a bit of a chat with us. As you say, I'm sure there are many of us who would be able to look at the people in our own lives and find somebody who speaks a different language or is bilingual at home. Do appreciate you coming on this morning.
Pleasure talking with you.